This is the Week in Review. I'm Katie.
I'm Anissa.
And we're news editors for the Oberlin Review. In this segment, we'll be chatting about the stories that our lovely writers covered this past week in Oberlin's newspaper of record, the Oberlin Review.
So Katie, this week we covered the climate strike in Oberlin. Do you want to say a little bit about that? What happened?
Yeah, so the climate strike happened two Fridays ago on September 21st, and the Weekly did a whole episode about it, but we were actually able to run a photo essay in this week's review, and we took the extraordinary step of publishing photos on our second page in color just because they were really great photos and our photographers did a really good job of capturing all of the emotion as well as the planning that went into this event.
The other thing I would just say is that it was really great to see people from outside of Oberlin there too. There were over 600 Oberlin students and faculty, but there were also people as young as 10 years old. Someone that really resonated with me was the young woman from Oberlin High School who came to talk.
Yeah,
she had started her own like environmental group in her high school, and I just found that to be really compelling to hear like all of these different age ranges of people coming to like strike.
Yeah, so this strike was just one of a whole global climate strike movement led by the Swedish 16-year-old Greta Thunberg, and I just think it's really cool. Obviously something like a climate strike would be very popular at Oberlin, but I just think it's really interesting and compelling to be part of this larger movement that's happening all over the world, really. So our next story I wrote. So Oberlin College is looking for its new vice president for advancement, which was previously titled the Vice President of Development and Alumni Affairs. And this is a really interesting search. Right now, we also have an active search going on for both deans of the college and conservatory. Anissa, I know you wrote a story about this a few weeks ago. But what I think is really interesting and compelling about the search happening right now for the vice president for advancement is that it's happening at this really interesting time in Oberlin's history. We have, you know, right now we're going through the implementation phase of the academic and administrative program review, or the AAPR. And I think what they're looking for in the vice president for advancement is someone that can really articulate and advocate for Oberlin and really bring up alumni support and engagement. So I'm really excited to see where this will go. We're not quite sure when the new candidate will be announced, but we do know that there is an active committee that's going on right now with President Ambar chairing it.
The thing that I was interested about with the search for director for advancement was that there is at least one student. It's just one student.
Yep. One student who's actually a student senator, third year Patrick Powers, is on the committee as well.
And I always like to see students on committees like this whenever we're talking about like institutional change. For both the search for the dean of the college and for the con, there aren't any students on those committees just because it is a highly confidential thing, sort of in terms of people who apply and then maybe don't get the position.
And I think if we look back at the history of sort of in Oberlin's recent history of this fight for student representation on committees and particularly on the Board of Trustees, which was happening my freshman year, so in 2016, 2017, I think it's really interesting to contextualize this search in the context of that effort to put increase student representation. I know a student senate failed in trying to get a student representative on the Board of Trustees, but I know that they did succeed in a couple of other different ways. Student senate has the first opportunity to speak at every Board of Trustee meeting, so I know that they take that time very seriously and think very intentionally about what they do want to say there. I know that they also are the largest voting bloc in the general faculty meetings, or GenFac. So I think when we think about the vice president for advancement, it's important that we have student voice on the committee because, you know, as students, eventually one day we'll all be alumni, and to have someone that is able to bridge that gap more effectively between, you know, that time as a student and the time once you're no longer an Oberlin student, but you're still connected to this school, I think that's a really important quality that person needs to have. We don't have any information about who is currently running for the position. There is currently someone serving in the role in an interim capacity, Rachel Smith Silver, but President Ambar was unable to tell us whether she is interested in the role or is going to apply.
A big thought that I always have when there are these big senior staff positions open in the administration is, I guess, kind of about like, are we going to try to get someone external from this school to come in and do this big role, especially as you already talked about with one Oberlin, with the AAPR. sort of bringing in an external candidate who maybe doesn't know the culture of Oberlin, like in this moment of already like a lot of change, is it would be like an interesting move if they did decide to do that versus hiring someone who has already worked here for a number of years, just like in a different position. So our senior staff writer, Ella Moxley, this week covered a story about international applications. There's a small change that has the opportunity to maybe provide a pretty big impact on how Oberlin looks at international students' applications. Like every international student where English is not their first language, this is like a normal thing among pretty much all institutions, has to take a English like fluency test. The main one that people probably have heard of is the TOEFL. And Oberlin Admissions just decided to accept a different kind of test that's not the two main ones, the TOEFL and the IELTS. They're going to now accept the Duolingo English test. And Duolingo is obviously like the language learning app, but they actually have like an English test too. And the hope with this is that it'll like increase accessibility in terms of who as an international student is able to apply, because the TOEFL can be really expensive to take. And also it's only offered on site, and it's only offered oftentimes in big cities. So when Ella reported this story, she talked to a lot of students who actually had to travel multiple hours, stay overnight to take this test. And obviously if you have to do that, that presents like a big accessibility concern for certain people. If you have to take the test multiple times, it's just like, you know, how people take the SAT or the ACT multiple times, and you have to travel for a whole day and spend a lot of money. Like, obviously, that's going to be, there's just some inequality there. Whereas the Duolingo test is a lot cheaper and it can just be taken anywhere you have an internet connection. The other thing is that as of right now, the Duolingo test, you still have to submit one of the other two tests, which is kind of interesting. But the Duolingo test is going to be accepted like as supplemental material, so that, you know, maybe if you didn't do the best on those other two tests and you didn't have the opportunity to take it again, you can at least also submit a Duolingo test.
Yeah, so there are a couple of reasons why possibly switching to this Duolingo exam has benefits for international applicants. One of them being a lower price point. I think the Duolingo exam is about $49, whereas the other exams can run up several hundred dollars. I think also this will be interesting to think about in the context of looking at Oberlin's enrollment and seeing if Oberlin starts to accept this exam as not a supplement material, but as, you know, a full bona fide like exam. I'm curious to see how it will change possibly the demographics of foreign applicants. I think that could be very significant in terms of who's applying and how many more applicants we can get and what kinds of applicants. So I'm excited to see how this story possibly develops further. We'll definitely keep our senior staff writer Ella on it. But yeah, I think it's a really cool opportunity. So Anissa, our last story that we're going to cover is our city council prepares to release next greenhouse gas inventory. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, so the city of Oberlin, as well as obviously the college, does a lot of work in terms of trying to reduce greenhouse gas emissions. And the city has been doing like an inventory about which parts of the city are using the most resources. And they've been doing this inventory since 2007. They do it every couple of years. And so they just did another one over the summer, and they're getting ready to release the results of that. And that will affect sort of where the city council and the Oberlin Sustainability Coordinator look at like where their next moves are in terms of reducing emissions. There's something called the Sustainable Reserve Fund in Oberlin. This is not affiliated with the college. This is just citywide governmental stuff. And the Sustainable Reserve Fund basically is just like a pot of money that the city uses to make various things in Oberlin more green. There's a goal of being 100% carbon neutral by 2050, and that's the city's goal. The college has their own separate plan, which has a goal of becoming carbon neutral by 2025. When they release this new inventory, like, it will impact like what their next steps are to do with that pot of money.
So there are definitely a lot of details with this story. Do you want to talk about the process that we went through as editors to make sure that our news writer, Alexa, who wrote this story, was doing the best job that she possibly could be doing?
Yeah, Alexa actually did an amazing job on this story because it was a very complicated thing to cover. One of the things we were really curious about is where that Sustainable Reserve Fund comes from, because it is this pot of money that at first we were like a little bit unclear, like confused about like where the town got that money. It's actually receiving its money from something called renewable energy credits. And basically, whenever an individual or a government invests in green energy, oftentimes the renewable energy sources that you invest in will actually generate more power than you're able to use. And then that power gets sold back into the power grid, and you get to like essentially sell your green power. And so every time the renewable energy sources that Oberlin has invested in like make more energy than Oberlin as a government can use, they make money off of that. And then that gets put into this pot of money to hopefully make the town even more green.
So our last little part of our segment is something that we think is pretty fun. So we went back into the review's archives, and we want to read an editorial that we found. So the review has been published continuously since 1874, so it's one of the country's oldest college newspapers, which is a point that we're pretty proud of. So here is an editorial from exactly 130 years ago. Published 130 years ago on Tuesday, October 1st, 1889. All right, so the Oberlin Review, Tuesday, October 1st, 1889. Ex-President Fairchild, how strange the new title sounds. Our lips refuse to adjust themselves to the new order of things and persist in leaving off the X. We try not to admit to ourselves the unwelcome fact that Oberlin has no president. Last Thursday, as the chapel filled, the whispers went round. The president is going to lecture. And when the man we all delight to honor rose to speak, the applause was honest and genuine. But there is something better than applause, quiet, eager attention to a very homely subject, truth-telling. The lecture was very interesting, yet there were some sad things about it. We were reminded that the speaker has lived beyond the 70 years allotted to man. Time has dealt kindly with him, yet the frosts of 70 years have done their work, and the snow begins to gather on the shock of corn fully ripe. Especially touching was the closing remark that he, quote, still might counsel as a father, though no longer as president, end quote. For the first time, we are publicly reminded of our loss. Loss, yes. Some of us have looked forward through long years to the time when we might sit at his feet. We have a loss. Ex-president. We will not say it. Our hearts say president. They accept no resignation. They hear no motion to accept. From every loving, loyal heart to Oberlin goes up the greeting, hail president. So yeah, we thought this was really interesting. I'm assuming that the chapel they're referring to is Finney Chapel. I'm not sure if it was named Finney Chapel at the time, but it seems like President Fairchild, who now has two buildings on campus named after him, Fairchild House and Fairchild Chapel, was deeply beloved, at least by the editorial staff of the Oberlin Review in 1889. Yeah, there's something really great about this, I think. You know, it shows that even back in the day, Oberlin students were really interested in engaging with the administration in the same way that we hope to do, both as a student body and specifically as news editors on the Oberlin Review. So catch up with us next Tuesday on The Week in Review. Now
back to the weekly.
Back to the weekly.